Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, when was the last time you pierced the veil? How often do you think about that? And what does that mean? What is the veil hiding? And maybe we can open the veil and see behind it. And to help us do that, is a really good friend, a woman who's been on the show before. She's the developer of the Infinity Wave and has had her own veil piercing many times. So I'm so glad to talk with Hope Fitzgerald again. Welcome to Energy Stew, Hope. You're on mute, by the way. And not on my mute. Now you're fine.
Okay. Well, thank you, Peter. It's so fun to be back with you. And sorry if you hear barking dogs in the background.
Don't worry about it. I can barely hear them.
Okay. Good.
So you've pierced the veil. What is the veil? Let's talk about that.
Well, I remember thinking, years ago, hearing about the veil, and it was all very mysterious,
Yes.
how do you get through it? I mean, what do you do? Throw a spear through it? Like, how do you do this? And I was always very, very curious about it, but felt like I was never getting anywhere. And then, when the Infinity Wave dropped in, what developed out of receiving this vision, these visions with culminating in the Infinity Wave, I sat down with my dowsing rods to try to determine what this imagery, this figure eight made of flowing water that was floating out in front of my consciousness. I couldn't see it with my eyes, but I could perceive it with what I would call my third eye, what we would, think of as the third eye. There was a consciousness that I was aware of. Anyway, I started asking questions with my dowsing rods to try to understand what this was. And I sort of realized over the course of the following several weeks, as I asked more and more questions about it, determined that it is this 10th dimensional energetic made of love and compassion at that 10th dimensional level. So very, very purified, very, very high level, pristine qualities that we are not used to on this planet. They're so pristine. And in the course of this investigation to try to understand it and what it was doing in my life and what I was supposed to do with it, as I was talking back and forth with my dowsing rods, I became aware that I was actually in conversation and had been in conversation with something else for a very long time, and that I would not just see the rods moving into a yes or no or maybe or what, many different patterns they can move in, but I was hearing words and seeing images. So I could ask things according to the words I was hearing. So I might receive a whole sentence, for instance, or I might receive a few words of a sentence that were the key words that would cue me for my next question.
Right.
So over time, I realized that the things that I was hearing in my head all along had actually been a sort of piercing of the veil. And I just hadn't realized that was already happening.
Right.
And then it went to the next level and the next level and the next level.
And you had visitations and all kinds of things.
Visitations. I had unbelievable, like really, truly paranormal experiences. But the first piece was that piece where I was like, oh my goodness, this is just so a part of me that I didn't even realize it was something separate.
And actually, that's the way I've been teaching intuition. First of all, by using with the equivalent of dowsing rods, working with fingers, and you can even use your arm, different muscle on and off. But what happens when you're doing these, dowsing rods or even a pendulum, it takes focus to do it. So when you're in that focus, you're actually stilling your mind. And stilling your mind creates a, call it an alpha wave, brain wave, or theta brain wave, that opens you up. That's the piercing of the veil, is coming from the stillness that you're in. You don't think you're in stillness because all you're doing is watching and talking to your dowsing rods. But to do that, it takes focus. And the focus is really how we can, because it's not the normal mind. You're trying to speak right with the greater universe.
That's a good point. And it makes me realize, well, not for the first time, but my practice with the dowsing rods included a getting out of the way.
Right. That's the point. Yeah. Cause you have to be with the dowsing rods.
So I have a feeling, a literal feeling of stepping to my left. And when I hope move to my left, what's left is a channel,
right,
is like an open conduit.
Right. You walk through the veil.
I guess so. I move aside my personality in order to get this straight conduit of information. But the interesting thing is that hope, the personality standing to the side, can carry on a conversation with the information coming in and out.
And it comes from that state of harmony that you've created by moving to the left. and then you're using that, but you can interface with it at the same time.
Yeah, that's interesting, thinking of it as harmony. I never thought of it that way. I think of it as non-attachment. I think of it as empty, like.
Right. But that, to me, emptiness is oneness.
Yeah.
And oneness is a harmonic state.
Mm-hmm. I'm just taking that in. That's an interesting layer that I had not associated with it, but that's good. Thank you.
Well, but the layers go deeper and deeper. And so we can climb deeper and deeper through the veil.
Yes.
And to the point where people actually astral travel and, yes, get to the other side into other dimensions. And where do they exist? The universe is very complex, and it's not just the implicate and the explicate. There are many different levels to it. And so, because I believe that our conscious minds always are in some level of receptivity from the other side, only because we never think for ourselves anyway. We only have thoughts. Where do our thoughts come from? People don't plan thoughts. We just have them. So who's running our thoughts?
Well, that is, the biggest question, because of course that, so many teachers teach about how to sort of grab a hold of those monkey mind thoughts and start having dominion over them, having, directing the thought so now you're not just willy-nilly having, the circus of thoughts going on in your head, but you're actually saying, I'm going to now determine where my thoughts will go, how I will actually language my thoughts and direct them going forward.
But, right? But who's doing the thinking to even do that? That's just a pattern of who you're here to be. That's doing that.
I think this is where I get to with the whole veil issue is that at some point we get so gobsmacked, to use the British, you know, term, we get so wowed that we understand that we can't really do this all by ourselves, that we have a handshake with whatever it is that is dropping thoughts in, and we reach up to meet those thoughts, and now we work together with those thoughts.
Well, we have an ego that competes with it, but even the ego doesn't have its own thoughts, but it is working in the patterns that we're born to behave in based on our, you know, let's call it astrology or human design or source cards, whatever. We're born to be, to have patterns of behavior, patterns of personality that limit us, because we can only be who we are. And then we have to behave that way and react that way. Like right now, the world is in chaos, and we're not all acting in the same way. You know, it's, that's why it's chaos. And so why aren't we all acting the same way? Because we're here with different templates that are here to respond in their own ways. And we can't help but be who we are. Even if we think that, you know, if you say to somebody, oh, you're not being yourself because you're being conditioned, influenced by these other forces in the world. Well, you're here to be conditioned. Your template is one of tell me how to behave and I'll behave. And so there are people who are like that. And then there are people like me, is, you know, don't try to tell me how to behave, because you won't get away with it. And so, you know, but I'm born to that. I can't help it. And you can't help being you. So we're in these patterns of personality that we can only really be passengers in the ship of who we are. It's taught that in human design, that the guy who ran it said, we're not driving the ship, you know, we're piloting it. We're not, we're passengers. And the more you learn to be better passengers, the happier you'll be.
Yeah, I'm not sure I totally agree with that, but because I think the challenge that when we come in here, we do have these patterns, and the challenge is to break free of them, and to...
I don't know that. I mean, I think that we have to use them to manifest the greater purpose of our soul journey.
Well, maybe it's just semantics, but yeah. I think there's a yes and here. There's good. A yes and with...
No, we need to, right. We need to wake up every morning and think that we're in charge. You know,
that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like you do, Peter, you hear direction in your mind. You hear a direction about how you're supposed to use any of the modalities that you used, you know, but if we were talking earlier about one in particular, and when you hear, just use it this way, that's what you do.
But I don't necessarily hear that. I just can't help but do that.
Okay. Well, so for some of us, you actually hear it. Okay. So okay. I actually hear it.
Good.
And so when I hear a direction, and sometimes I get it through dowsing, and sometimes I just hear it.
Right. No, they're great. It's wonderful when spirits can talk to us. And I've had many verbal instructions from the other side.
Right.
Directing
so
me.
What you do, though, when you hear or receive or whichever manner it comes in, a directive, you do that. You go along.
Well, I've learned to.
You've learned to, because it's painful not to.
Exactly.
And it's almost inevitable. It's going to happen anyway, so you might as well, right?
Right.
So in that sense, that's the handshake that I'm talking about. That's the cooperation with whatever it is that is trying to pierce the veil to you. You know, like they're trying to get through to us.
And this is what why we're talking is like, how can we be better at that?
Right. You know? So, yeah. Well, a lot of it is, I think, sitting down in quiet and learning the difference between your own thoughts and something that might be speaking to you.
There are different levels.
If we're too busy, if our monkey mind is going a million miles an hour, we won't hear it. And we won't consider it, as like I was saying in the beginning, as something separate from ourselves. You know, it takes a little awareness and a little sensitivity to go, wait a minute, is that my thought, or is that something coming in?
Right.
How, you know.
And those of us who are intuitive, we understand there's a difference between our everyday minds, you know, and information that comes through that we have no idea about. It's talking to us. The universe is giving, informing us, and that's how we know things that we wouldn't know otherwise.
Yes, this is why I really love dowsing, because in the beginning, if somebody is just starting to douse, and they ask a low risk question, you know, like, should I go to the grocery store today or tomorrow? You know, whatever, something silly.
I like that.
But what's great about it, here's how it works, in my opinion, with the what, if you want to call it the universe, source, higher self, whatever. If the dowsing tells you, yes, go tomorrow to the grocery store, go ahead and do that. Like, don't go today. Go ahead and do what the dowsing recommended. And what that starts to set up is a feedback loop. The universe says, oh, she or he heard me, and she or he is taking action based on the information that we gave.
Right. I love that.
This starts a relationship.
Yes.
This starts a conversation. And over time, the questions can get more and more, you know, higher risk levels. And the trust is already developed by that point. Because let's say you went to the grocery store according to what you were directed to do, and you bump into somebody you haven't seen in 5-10 years, and oh, just, you know what, I just found out this new apartment that, you know, and things happen as a result of going on the day that was specified, and even better, at the time that's specified.
Right. So, and yet there are ways, subtle ways of working with this without having to use divining instruments, that have to do with our own internal instrument. In other words, yeah, being more receptive to the energies that flow from the universe, and, you know, from wherever, that flow into us that are smarter than our minds. Mm-hmm. And to learn to just be in that vibe of universal guidance.
Yes. That can take a while.
Yes.
I think another avenue in is doing dream work, because, sure, you know, lots of times we have dreams that are very informative, not just on a psychological, personal level, but they are indications. They're ways that spirit can get to us when our busy mind is asleep.
And in terms of the veil, where do dreams come from in the first place?
Excellent question. You know, I think it's a combination of things. I don't think anybody's really nailed it down.
No.
But it's not to be overlooked in terms of developing the intuition.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I love to explore these other realities that we experience, like our dream states at night and the stories that we see, and, you know, and a lot of it has to do with symbols of that relate to our emotional and psychological needs, etc. But it's bigger than we are, because we're not inventing our dreams. They show up in great detail, and who's inventing them?
Well, and you know, some some people say, and I think everybody would say they've had at least one, if not multiple, dreams where they left their body and they were somewhere else. They were on a different planet or a different realm, or they were flying or something.
Astral travel.
Yes. And so that's what I'm talking about. When you have these kinds of dreams, you're getting ready. It's almost a way of practicing.
Right. And that's more, that's called lucid dreaming, where
you're conscious
of this.
You're directing, sometimes you're directing, sometimes not, but paying attention to those, suddenly you start to take them more seriously and go, okay, I am moving around outside of my body. I am connecting with something. And what will happen is when that recognition kicks in, you'll start to receive more of them. Oh, she's paying attention, or he's paying attention.
Yeah, I always say that. More that the universe knows we're interested and they're welcome, the more they show up.
And, you know, another practical way, I mean, this infinity wave is useful for so, so many things. But one of the things is to increase the direct contact from a person to the divine or to the earth. And because we receive messages from the earth all the time.
I think the infinity wave creates harmony. And it's that harmony that can pierce the veil so easily.
Yeah, that's interesting. It also seems like it opens the channels. It allows for, you're right, a harmonic, peaceful state. And when you're in that state, you are more available.
Right.
Right. So
gets mathematical. It has to do with the golden mean and creating harmony, because the golden mean is the most harmonic number. Mm-hmm. And the more that we can stimulate that in ourselves, the more harmonic we become. And then they say that the way you pierce through the veil, technically, is going through each atom to the other side of it. And since there are quadrillions of atoms in our everyday world, that we pierce them all together, and all of a sudden we're in another universe or another dimension. So, but the only way to pierce the atom is to get to the tiniest place in it that you can squeeze through. But you can't get there unless you're harmonic. And because then size doesn't mean anything.
You're right. Well, it's interesting because for me, the times when I have had the most paranormal experiences are when I wasn't trying to. It's when I was focused on something else or available for something else, and then something would happen and arrive. Right.
There are many accidental piercings.
Well, let me qualify it a little bit more, because my system was already in a state of receptivity.
Right.
But I wasn't
trying. But you didn't know
it. Well, I did know it, but I wasn't trying to do anything.
That's what I mean.
So sometimes that's just the way a person's field is set up, because I happen to love surprises. And, you know, so I've had all these things happen that were complete surprises, and it's delightful for me. I mean, sometimes I can't say it hasn't been a little scary here and there, but
it's great to live that way. It's great to know that we can, be receptive enough that out of the blue, we get messages and we have experiences that are otherworldly. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Yeah. So, it's a different life when you can live in trust of being, let's call it a paranormal person. Mm-hmm. and allow yourself to be enjoined in other dimensions.
Yes, and I think one of the biggest, if there is a goal for how to be here on planet Earth, it's not to escape 3D 100%. Like, we don't want to be floating up there somewhere in higher dimensions and not able to partake in 3D. You know, I had this experience. I was going to a series of workshops at, like, this is back in 2007 or eight. And each of the workshops were like liftoff for me. And I would just fly out of my body, and I was flying around having the most wonderful time. And it was getting harder and harder to get fully back in. And actually, I started to experience a feeling like I had one foot on one piece of ice floating and the other foot on another piece of ice floating, and they were getting farther and farther apart because I was not returning fully into my body. I lost my sense of taste and smell. This is way before COVID. They did an MRI on my head because they thought maybe I had a brain tumor. And I stopped caring about things. I didn't care about all the little details.
So we're near the end of the show. So how did you resolve this?
I realized that I was not fully embodied, and I had to go through a series of exercises to get myself back in. But what I came away with was that we want to live multidimensionally. We want to be here tasting the food, enjoying each other, and so on, and have this capacity for higher.
So it's staying centered and grounded at the same time. So, Hope Fitzgerald, we're really at the end of the show. How can people connect with you?
Well, my website is www.we-infinity.com. That's we-infinity.com. And that's the best way to reach me. The email is info@weinfinity.com. And come on and join me for my Monday meditations. They're free and fun.
That's great. Hope, thanks for being a guest on Energy Stew again.
Thank you, Peter.
So great to talk with you. And this is Peter Roth, your host at Energy Stew at PRN.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.